Cooking to impress visitors can usually be done in two ways, the lavish and the casual. For you, in your bedsitter, the lavish is impossible. So instead, you must concentrate on the apparently effortless meal. The attitude of, just a little thing I seem to have cooking in this pot. If your guests are not to see you looking flustered over your cooking, this, in practice, means that they had better not see you cooking at all.
Cooking in a Bedsitter by Sue Tedden, inspired by Cooking in a Bedsitter by me, Catherine Whitehorn. Episode 3, Coffee Chiffon.
Cheese sandwich, please.
Spag bowl for me, Luigi, per favore. I could eat a horse. Potre mangiare un castello and a Shetland pony for pudding.
Coming up.
Why not have a proper meal at lunchtime, Trish? Saves you opening tins at night.
Can't. I'm making tripe Catalan for my tea.
Ooh, as punishment for what?
Catherine Whitehorn says it's not like boiled knitting at all.
Is she a neighbour?
Cooking in a bedsitter. It's my Bible. You must know it.
No bedsitter, no thanks. So, did you do the deed with Keith as in Keith?
That's a bit personal, Jill.
Did you break off your engagement like you said you would?
Oh, well, we aren't engaged anymore. With knobs on.
How did he take it?
On the chin. Oh, he's got a dear little chin dimple. Did you see it?
He's good looking in a cardigan and slippers sort of way. And you're a swinging, get-ahead girl about town. Time to meet your match.
I know. I did adore that dimple, though.
How did you tell him? Were you cruel to be kind? That's what I do, to make sure they get the message.
What I said was, I just came right out with it and I told him, look, Keith, the thing is, what I need to tell you is... Well, he chucked me, Jill, before I could chuck him.
Oh, sweetie.
I feel so stupid. How ruddy dare he?
I've never been chucked, so I don't know how it feels. Must be quite a blow to your confidence.
It is.
Do you feel ugly and unwanted?
A bit.
Are you thinking, I'll end up a lonely old spinster eating tripe in my pokey little bedsitter waiting to die?
He met someone else at Harrow Tennis Club. Blonde, pretty, long legs.
The bastard! No, I'm sorry, but he is. Look at you. You're a lovely girl. You're fresh-faced and cute. You are, sweetie.
I don't feel it.
Right. Well, as Mrs. Ranley Forbes used to say at Pony Club, back in the saddle, quick as you like. Even when you detest that rotten snowdrop and you've pleaded with Mummy to do ballet instead.
What do you mean?
Find yourself a new chap, toot sweet.
Oh, the hunk from Accounts.
You can do better than that. Why not throw a housewarming party? Invite all the dishy guys you know and take your pick.
My address book isn't exactly heaving with dishy guys. Actually, I don't have an address book because I don't know anyone in London.
You know me.
And my bedsitter's tiny. I could manage four if we don't all breathe at the same time.
Did I tell you I've got a new boyfriend?
Oh, go on, rub it in.
I met him at Annabelle's. He was ever so impressed when I said I'd been in Honey magazine. He has heaps of dishy friends.
Good for him.
So, that's you, me, him and one of his pals. As in your soon-to-be brand new boyfriend for a bed-sit-warming dinner party. You do the food, I'll do the rest.
Oh, Miss Jenks says we can't entertain past 9 o'clock.
Do you want me to save you from tripe and spinsterhood, or don't you?
Yes, please.
Back in the saddle, sweetie. Quick as you like. And hang on to your riding hat. Luigi, any chance of lunch before we fade away? Grazie, caro.
Your mother bumped into Joyce in Littlewoods. You know, with a leg in the crazy paving. And Joyce knows Audrey, Keith's mum, Audrey. Why didn't you tell us, Patty Cake?
I was waiting for the right moment.
Your mother's very upset. She was sure your Keith, your ex-Keith, would get you up the aisle.
You're not a fan, though.
He's a pom pompous know-all clever clogs twit, pardon my French. Talks to me like I'm a daft old codger who's lost his marbles. One or two may have rolled under the settee, but this noggin's still in full working order, sonny.
He met someone else, Dad. He broke it off, not me.
Your mother said. Celia Gibson, works in Soper's. Pretty, blonde. Oh,
long legs.
You inherited the Stapleton legs, love. Sturdy and reliable. They'll serve you well.
Hmm. Oh, maybe Mum was right. We should have got this bedsitter business out of my system and settled down with Keith. Too late now.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that. He's hurt you, and that's a capital offence in my book. Want some advice from me?
Get back in the saddle.
Because there are plenty more fish in the sea.
Now you meant to say I'm quite a catch.
You are, even with the Stapleton legs.
Have I the right to hold you? You know I'd always told you. There's never be a...
Is it too loud?
Please repeat that. Your music's too loud.
Are you trying to study?
In my raincoat. I'm going out.
Well, so why complain about the noise?
I'm not. I wondered if I might borrow your umbrella. It's pouring dogs and cats out here.
Oh, you won't want to when you see it.
The rain?
The umbrella. Hang on.
Oh.
I've got a matching headscarf. It's a lady's umbrella.
Because you're a lady.
Well, do you want it or not?
There is only one way I can leave the house with it. You must come with me.
Don't be silly. I'm about to cook myself curried macaroni.
Curried? Fetch your coat. Now, I'm doing this for your own good.
Chairs ever so sticky.
Beer, probably. Here, use my handkerchief.
It's okay. These are my at-home slacks. I wish you'd let me change.
Curried macaroni. Gee, there was no time to lose. Anyway, nobody dresses up to come here.
Why is it so dark?
Jazz musicians are vampires. They only come out at night.
He knew you, didn't he? The man on the door.
I come here every week. Otherwise, I would go mad.
You actually like this kind of music?
No, I come for the sticky chairs.
Jazz is just so clever. Oh, look at me, I'm playing a tune that isn't a tune. And I'm dressed like a road sweeper. And everyone thinks I'm a genius.
Whereas you prefer the Apple Combs and the Honey Jacks. Even the names are puerile.
Well, I could be at home now listening to puerile pop music, and yet here I am.
I am behaving badly. I'm very sorry. I'm in something of a 2 and 6 today.
A 2 and 6? Oh, dear.
This amuses you?
A 2 and 8. A state. What does 2 and 6 rhyme with?
Mix? Fix? Yes, I'm in quite a fix. So my colloquial English is perfectly correct. Thank you very much, Miss Stapleton.
You're welcome, Mr. Banerjee. Why are you in a 2 and 6?
My uncle Rav is visiting London and wants to see me.
That's not even a threepence halfpenny.
You're right. You'll find nothing to be concerned about.
So why the 2 and 6?
He'll want to know that my studies are going well so that he can tell my parents.
Well, that's nice. They must miss you.
And also tell the parents of Amina, the girl I am to marry.
Oh, I didn't know you were engaged.
It's more of an understanding than an engagement.
I used to be engaged.
You are pleased not to be?
Sometimes. And you're pleased to be understood?
Sometimes. You know why I like this jazz? Because it's unplanned, spontaneous, free. You don't know what will come next. I would prefer my life to be like that, rather than all mapped out.
Well, you don't have to follow your parents' wishes.
You don't know my parents. Curried macaroni. That is very funny indeed.
When you are cooking to impress, it's important to remember that couples or mixed singles are accustomed to kitchen food and drawing room standards. They have forgotten what it was like to cook in a bedsitter, if they ever knew, and it is your business not to remind them. Impressing couples is hardest of all, since you must be a host or hostess in the ordinary way as well as cook, and since their standards will be the highest. For them, I should say it was essential to prepare things the evening before, and for them, two standard rules become vital. Don't fuss, and don't apologise. Avoid the consciously shishi in decoration. No, absolutely no candles in bottles. And be sure there is enough to drink.
Why the panic? Your guests aren't coming till tomorrow.
Catherine Whitehorn says to cook the night before. That gives me 24 hours to get rid of the smell of onions.
Especially burnt onions.
Oh, no!
Charcoal is good for the digestion. Trust me, I am nearly a doctor. So, this is your Bible. Ah, here's your curried macaroni. Does she also have a recipe for bhindi bhaji bolognese?
Pass me the book or tell me what to do next.
What are you making?
Gringo beef with tinned pineapple.
You just made that up. Oh, no, here it is. Invented by mistake for something Mexican or Hawaiian. Only the most Americanized Pacific Islander would recognize it now. Don't add too much chili powder or you will go around with your mouth open for a week. I like your Miss Whitehorn.
Now what?
Brown, or in your case, blacken onions for 5 minutes. Put back meat.
Okay.
Add everything else. And simmer for 1.5 hours or longer if possible.
I wish this saucepan had a lid.
No, don't use a plate. It will become too hot to lift. I usually put a frying pan on top.
Clever. Do you want to hear the whole menu?
No need. You have it thoroughly bookmarked. Let's see. Deviled cod roes. That really is the work of the devil. Followed by gringo beef with rice. And finally, on the page covered in sugar, coffee chiffon. Actually, that sounds delicious. I will pass it on to my mother.
Sometimes I have it for supper and breakfast, because it's coffee. My mother would have kittens.
Which is nothing to do with cat breeding, I think.
Oh, should I have checked everyone eats beef?
I don't, as a Hindu. So it's just as well I haven't been invited.
Oh, I thought you understood, Deepak. I can only squeeze 4 people in here, and one of them has to be me.
And 2 of them are men you have never met before. Do you even know their names?
Oh, don't be so square. It's not 1864. I'm a girl about town. I can do what I like.
Like inviting total strangers into your bedroom. When you have a friend on the same landing for whom you have never cooked haddock Monte Carlo or mutton rissoles or Creole liver. Ooh, maybe I should count myself lucky.
Dear Mr. Banerjee, please join me for supper with friends tomorrow evening. You will have to bring your own chair, plate, cutlery and main course. Do RSVP in the next 5 seconds to avoid disappointment.
Sadly, I must decline. My Uncle Rav is taking me out to dinner.
Thank you for getting back to me so promptly. So sorry you can't attend. Yours, etc. Oh, I'd still love to invite your plates and cutlery, though. I'm one set short. And may I reheat the beef on your gas ring while I fry the cod roes? Oh, and if I could borrow a chair, then one of us wouldn't have to sit on the bed. That would be so much more respectable, wouldn't it? Now, remind me how to make coffee chiffon.
Right.
There is one powerful smell closely associated with the making of coffee in bedsitters, which has nothing to do with coffee at all, as I discovered once by forgetting to put any grounds in the pot. It is the smell of burning plastic, and it will go away if you move the handle of the pot away from the flame. If you like hot milk with your coffee, heat some milk. But boiled milk has an unpleasant flavour all its own, and is usually bad for the surrounding carpet.
I can't talk now, Mum. Ring me back tomorrow.
I thought you ought to know.
Why? Keith's not my property anymore. Celia Gibson's taken over the lease, with her long legs and her blonde hair.
She's very pretty. She reminds me of Jill Brown in Emergency Ward 10.
And you saw them in the window of the Angus Steakhouse and they look like Love's Young Dream.
People only go there on special occasions, don't they? When they want to push the boat out, celebrate something. So you can't help thinking.
You can't help thinking they're celebrating their whirlwind engagement. Oh. Maybe they're just plain hungry and only a T-bone would do.
If they are engaged, Pat, love, can you live with it?
No. I'll throw a tantrum and stamp my feet. The ones at the end of my sturdy Stapleton legs. Honestly, Mum, Celia Gibson's welcome to him with knobs on.
She may look like Jill Brown and her father own a chain of very successful greengrocers in Middlesex, but he'll still have feelings for you.
Oh, I bet he can't even remember that I hate luncheon meat and sweet sherry. Or that George is my favourite Beatle. I don't mind, Mum. Good luck to them. And now I have to go.
Oh, don't tell me you've got a date.
I need to warm up my gringo beef. I've got friends coming for supper.
London friends? Male London friends?
And if I say yes, they're male?
I'd have to tell your father. It's practically a bedroom, Pat, love.
Oh, I'm nearly 23. I can take care of myself. But since you're so blummin' nosy about my friends, I've invited Jill from work and Petula and Kathy. Now, I need to prepare my devil cod roast. Bye, Mum.
Oh, let me go. Let me go. Let me go, lover. Let me be. Let me free from your spell. Oh, oh, you...
Then Mike got us utterly lost, and suddenly we were driving around Hampstead Heath, for heaven's sake. So we popped into the Spaniards to get our bearings, and I bumped into some old pals. Mortified for being so late,
yes.
My chaps.
Yes, sorry.
Not to worry. It's only 9:10.
Oh, Jill reckons anything up to 2 hours is fashionably late, and she's the height of fashion, aren't you, Poppy?
Hey, that still means we've got 20 minutes left. Fancy a quick one in the pub on the corner?
Oh, of course not. Poor Trish has been slaving over a hot gas ring. They just need some food inside them to soak up the beer.
Here we are. Come on in.
What's that again?
Cod roast. Dipped in mustard and Worcester sauce, then 2 minutes in the frying pan.
Ooh, not for me, sweetie. It isn't roe unborn fish.
So's caviar.
Oh, don't be silly. Caviar's scrumptious.
Could you put some bread and butter on those plates, please?
Look at me, Mike. I'm practically cooking.
Steady on. You wear yourself out.
So I said to Mike, Trisha's adorable and suddenly single. Who can you dredge up for her? He tried a couple of pals, but they had better things to do, so we found Stuart in the Spaniards. What do you think?
He's very good-looking. Cross between David McCallum and Peter Noon.
Do you think he's dishier than Mike? Honestly?
I don't know. Maybe. I think these are ready to serve.
When we met, Mike told me he's a journalist, but it's only some silly engineering magazine. Stuart's an artist. I just adore people who can do things with... art.
Would you like to sit on the bed? The starters are coming.
Where's that Chianti? The sooner we polish it off, the sooner you've got a new candlestick, Poppet.
Trish, just a minute. I think I'd like to swap.
I've got Yugoslavian hock, if you'd rather.
No, no, what I mean is you have Mike. He's got nice eyes, don't you think? But Stuart's all mine. You don't mind, do you? Of course you don't.
Why are those eyes next to Stuart here?
It's a bit kneesy. Is that all right?
Take the weight off, pet.
Double cod roast, everyone. More in the pan if you fancy seconds. Mm.
I love your slacks. Oh. Are they needle cord? It's so clever the way it rubs up in one direction and then back the other way. See what I mean?
Oh, right you are. Who'd like wine?
Can I give you a hand?
Oh, just fetching the beef from my neighbour's room.
I can open the doors for you.
It's hard to cook 3 courses on 1 ring. My gringo beef's been bubbling away in here.
Smells amazing. Fab starter, too.
Not too much mustard.
You obviously know how to cook. Give Jilly a packet of mushroom soup and she turns it into glue. I thought I'd never ungum my gums.
Oh, that's heavy. Could you carry it and I'll do the doors?
How do you and Jilly know each other?
We work in the same office. She's been so friendly, treating me to lunch, inviting me to parties. Here, I've bought mittens for oven gloves.
Have you seen the famous photo in Honey? Who hasn't, eh? She showed 3 people in the pub tonight. Complete bloody strangers. Charming girl, but
give it a rest, darling.
Shall we go through before it gets cold?
Or we could just stay here. Have our own little party.
I'll take it then. Shut the door on the way out, will you?
The Third Paul. Every dog has four thoughts, one for each paw. Food, food, sex, and food. Most of this book is, naturally, concerned with preoccupations 1, 2, and 4, but the other thought also has its own special problems in a bedsitter. The chief trouble is that everything in a bedsitter is so visible. Unless you work it all out with the greatest care, your visitor can see at a glance just exactly what you expect, or hope for, or hope to avoid. If you have a set of rough and ready house rules designed to protect the amorous from casual interruptions, don't put these precautions into force unless you really mean business. Nothing causes the timid fawn to shy away faster than the feeling that the rest of the house knows what she is in for, especially if she hopes she isn't.
So I see the job as a stopgap while I weigh up my options. Modelling's tempting, of course, but my friend Jean Shrimpton... Did I tell you I know her? Jean says top models have lots of really early mornings and I'm good for nothing until noon.
Oh, I don't know, Poppet.
Shush! You'll give Stuart the wrong idea.
Are you not finishing that, Pet? She didn't the worst it.
That was fab, Tricia. You must give Julie the recipe. Please.
I don't plan to cook a single thing until I'm 30, and then I'll marry someone who can afford staff.
That's me out of picture, then.
If you were ever in it, sweetie. Stuart, have you sold any of your paintings for oodles of money? I bet you have.
I'm working on it, Pet, working on it. Who wants to finish the wine? Thanks very much, Stuart, pal. Don't mind if I do.
You're very quiet, Tricia. I love a girl that doesn't yatter on and on. Penny for them?
I was just thinking, hang on to your spoon so I don't have to wash them up for dessert.
Okay. Oh, isn't she adorable? You've done wonders, sweetie. And you actually live here, too. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need the little girl's room.
Oh, it's at the end of the landing. The bolt's a bit stiff, so give it a tug when you open it.
Oh, if I scream, come and rescue me.
Oh, for heaven's sake, does everything have to be a drama with you?
You'll save me, won't you, Stuart?
Maybe after a good night's sleep.
Charming, I don't think.
What a bitch. Using me, using you. Stuart's welcome to her.
Oh, she's not so bad. Did you know she was in Honey magazine? She doesn't like to boast about it.
Whereas you're a proper girl. Bit of meat on the bone. Knows her way around a saucepan, nice sense of humour. You must be beating him off with sticks.
Not really. I've just broken up with my fiancé.
The man's a fool. Look at you. Bloody gorgeous. You deserve a great big hug for being so gorgeous.
Oh, really, it's not necessary.
If you're worried about Madam, don't. I ended it 2 seconds ago. Come on, Poppy. Be a sport.
I'll just clear the table for dessert.
With any luck, she'll be in there from Monday to Saturday and we can have some fun.
It's coffee chiffon from Cooking in a Bedsitter. Do you know it? That's for all tonight's recipe.
You must feel lonely without your fiancé. I can help. Come on, Poppy. I know how to make you feel better.
Stop. Get your slimy hands off me or I'll...
You'll what?
Ow!
Bloody hell! It's only bloody bleeding!
Oh, what's happened? Is there any more wine?
I hardly scratched you. It was a till opener. Now, if I stabbed you with this...
What hellhole? Nasty bronco toilet paper. Oh, my God! What happened?
Your adorable little friend just stabbed me. Completely unprovoked.
It's because you couldn't keep them to yourself. Your hands and the rest.
Are you trying to steal my boyfriend?
Oh, you couldn't give him away. That's the last time I befriend a sad little suburban mouse. Talk about biting the hand that feeds you. Oh, not when I can stab it.
What's going on?
Have a look, sweetheart.
Are you all right, Tricia? Should I call the police?
No, I'm fine. We're all fine.
I'm not. I've lost a lot of blood.
Let's see. That's barely a graze. But I'll find you a plaster, if it makes you feel better.
What do you know? You're not even English.
I'm a qualified doctor. My specialism is malingerous syndrome. Do you want your guest to leave, Tricia?
No hurry. In the next 10 seconds would be ideal.
Jill Poppet, can you take my arm? No. I'm feeling a little faint.
Oh, that's it. I've got you. What a ghastly evening. Squalid room, horrid food. Let's get back to civilization.
Well, you certainly know how to throw a dinner party.
Oh, I might cry. That was so
They're gone now. You can relax.
Where's the pudding, then?
I can feel a new expression on my face. I can feel a glowing sensation taking place.
Oh, good. You're not in bed yet.
Very observant, Miss Stapleton.
I've washed up your plates and cutlery. Do you want your chair back?
It's 1:30. I think I can do without until morning. Actually, I've got something of yours. Come in.
Oh. Oh, crikey, I completely forgot. The coffee chiffon, I left it in here to cool.
You've even brought 2 spoons to eat it with.
You mean now?
Unless you want it for breakfast.
I am quite hungry. I was too nervous to eat. How was your evening?
Boring compared to yours.
Did you tell your uncle how well you're doing?
He seemed reassured. Now he can reassure my parents. And Amina's parents.
And Amina?
This is really and truly one of the most delicious desserts I've ever eaten.
Now you're being sarcastic.
Really and truly, don't you agree?
Actually, it is rather fab. If you like it, I can show you how to make it.
Please.
To make coffee chiffon for two, you will need 6 dessert spoons sugar, 1/2 pint of strong coffee with a little milk in it, 1 egg, 2, if you can spare them, 1/2 cup of water. In Cooking in a Bedsitter by Sue Tedden, Trisha was played by B.T. Edmondson, and Deepak by Nikesh Patel. Len was played by John Bowler, and June by Alison Belbin. Jill was played by Natasha Cowley, Stuart by Luke McGregor, and Mike by Finley Robertson. Extracts from Cooking in a Bedsitter by Catherine Whitehorn were read by Karen Barkey. The director was Emma Harding. She don't